In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We do this every year. On the last Sunday of November, the first Sunday of Advent, we can count on several things happening in an Episcopal church. First, the attendance will be light because people are traveling. Second, we and the other liturgically minded churches will be huddled up in our churches knowing something the rest of the world doesn't know. And it makes us feel a little pompous and self-righteous on the one hand, but it also makes us feel a little left out because out there, it's Christmas. I was in several stores yesterday, and it's Christmas. Big time Christmas. They're trying to get us to be happy and joyful and put up Christmas decorations and all that stuff. That's the positive version. But really, my experience, they're just trying to get us to let loose of some of our hard-earned cash. That's really what's going on. And yet, here we are as Episcopalians kind of being the Grinch, the one out there saying, no, 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 it's not Christmas yet. We don't have our tree up. We don't have decorations in the church. It's blue. It's quiet. It's candles. We're doing something else. And that something else is kind of important. And we do it all the time. And so I'm assuming that most of you, I know most of you, so you're Episcopalians, so you made your peace with this. You made your peace with the fact that it's Christmas out there, but it's Advent in here. You may have even made your peace. Heck, you might have even started to like some of the dirgy hymns we sing during Advent. Oh, and Jeffrey, by the way, thanks for not making that too dirgy. That was good. But Advent hymns kind of have a dirgy sort of feel to them because they have this ominous sort of anticipation feeling to them. To help us get our brains into that for this year, I'd like for you to think about something. Think about your very favorite children's movie. Whatever yours was when you were a kid, your very favorite one. And think about what makes for a good children's movie. The brilliance of a good children's movie is it has two stories going on simultaneously. It has the one for the kids, you know, the ones that you bring to the theater so that you can see it. And that's usually full of adventure and great animation, and they've got to go solve some problem, and there's a quest, and there's a little bit of danger, and something's a little bit scary. And there's usually a lot of physical humor, a lot of things getting bonked on the head, and, of course, body noises, so the kids can all snort and giggle all the way through the movie. But simultaneously, there's another story going on for the people who paid for the ticket, for the parents who came to the movie with their children. And that's what makes for a good one. So think, those for me as a child, those were the Bugs Bunny cartoons. They were as funny as children, and my parents were laughing as hard as I was because there was something else going on. For our family, when the kids were young, it was Shrek because it had all of that great stuff. I mean, it had all the silly stuff for the kids. But then it had Eddie Murphy, that alone. Eddie Murphy's mouth in a movie made all the adults kind of laugh, just that alone. My favorite was the Bee Movie. Remember the Bee Movie? It was a funny movie about little bees, and they were talking to human beings, and it's Jerry Seinfeld is the voice of one of the bees. And they say, he said something, he had to do something, he had to go to church. And he goes, wait, y'all have, bees have religion? He goes, oh yeah, we've got Be-Moses, and we've got Be-Buddha, and we've got Be-Jesus. That's good. The adults are laughing too. You know, this is like, okay. That's what makes for a good kids movie. That's kind of what's happening in Advent. We've got two stories that are being told simultaneously. One is a surface story that is lovely and beautiful and true, and one is this much heavier, much harder story that is also really, really true. Both are going on. The first one is Advent. It's the anticipation of the coming of Jesus. It's why Lisa and her crew put together a great workshop for us during Sunday school this morning where we could go make Advent wreaths and Advent chains and paint little creche figures and get tools for us as families and individuals to take home and to help us think our way through Advent. Each week we will light another candle and the anticipation will grow. And it is all about getting ourselves ready for the coming of the Christ child. And it's lovely. There's a romance to it. It's beautiful. And it's true. I need that right now. Given the way the world is, I kind of need a place that's sweet and that's lovely and has some excitement and anticipation in it. And it's true. But then we send the kids to Children's Chapel, and the adults listen to the 21st chapter of Luke. Every first Sunday of Advent, we hear a different version of this particular story. It's known as the Little Apocalypse. Jesus is already in Jerusalem. He knows what's about to happen. Everybody around him knows what's about to happen. And there is nothing sweet about this. There's nothing candlelit. There's nothing lovely. It's hard and it's scary and it's dark. And Jesus said, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now the adults that are in the room and say, ooh, I actually know what that feels like. That's kind of how we live. It's how what the adult world looks like sometimes. It's big and it's huge and it's terrifying. And there's wind and there's waves and there's distress in the stars and the earth. There's famine, there's drought, there's fear, there's flood, there's war, there's rumors of war, to use Mark's version of this story. And it's scary. And right then, Jesus says, lift up your heads. When you see all those things happen, lift up your heads, because your salvation is at hand. Your redemption is at hand. Now, I fully believe that Jesus was talking about something very specific. He was talking about something that was imminent, that was about to happen and did happen. We know that 30 years after Jesus dies, the Roman Empire crushed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and it was gone. And that political intrigue and that political drama and the fear that was part of that was alive when Jesus was alive. He was talking about something very specific. He said, this generation will not pass away until these things happen. I think that's what he was talking about. So it was very specific to the people then and there that he was talking to. But for us, 2,000 years later, when has this not been the case? When has there been a time when there were not storms and floods and fire and earthquake and wars and rumors of war and some crazy person with a gun or a knife or a bomb wanting to take over the world? When has that not been the case? It's always the case. And Jesus says right in the middle of that, lift up your heads, for your salvation is at hand. Now. I think Jesus was inviting his disciples to do two things. One is to look. Look for the kingdom of God, especially when things are hard and scary. Look for the kingdom because it's right there in front of you. He says it's so obvious it will be like leaves coming out on trees in the spring. You'll know by the leaves that summer's near. He says it's obvious. I'm maybe not very observant, but I have not experienced it to be that obvious in my life sometimes. Sometimes I can see the Lord, but most of the time I don't. You have to look hard. You have to squint. You have to turn your head a little bit. You have to tune your ears. You have to look carefully to find the kingdom of God going on in the midst of all these crazy, scary things that are happening in the world. But he says it's there, even when it's hard to see. But I don't think I'm alone. I think it's hard to see for most of us. I can count on one hand and probably have a finger or two left of the times in my life when I was 100% sure that what I was looking at was the Lord. It was the kingdom of God. The rest of the time, it's trying to see through the haze, trying to see through the fog, trying to see through the fear, the uncertainty. I like what Wesley Avram wrote about this. He said that Luke wrote with a deep and growing sense that Christian discipleship is a kind of living in between. Aware of Jesus, waiting for Jesus, and coming to know Jesus, for whom we wait, in the midst of an eventful, unpredictable, even tumultuous world, waiting to stand before him, yet not always knowing where he is. That sounds like my experience. I resonate with that. Jesus tells his disciples to do two things. One is to look, lift up your head, look for the kingdom, and then jump in. He says, don't be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and all the worries of this life, lest it come and you miss it. But jump in, look for the kingdom, and then do things that look like the kingdom of God. So I think that's our invitation for today. My brother-in-law, as you all know, is a Baptist pastor. He's a pastor of First Baptist in Richmond, Virginia. And for 5 years, he's been wearing his congregation out with one sentence: the kingdom of God in Richmond, Virginia. Now, the kingdom of God in Richmond, Virginia. And so he, for 5 years, he's been asking his congregation to go out and look for the kingdom. In the midst of all the beautiful stuff in the world, in the midst of all the scary stuff, go look. And what are the marks of the kingdom? Beauty, love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, courage, compassion. Those are the marks of the kingdom of God. So go look for them. And when you see them, jump in. Now do the works of the kingdom. That's how it works, to see it and then participate. Jesus does not say, see it and then hunker down and wait. He says, stand up, lift up your heads, jump in. From Jim's perspective, it could be the simplest thing in the world to the biggest and most globally changing behavior you could come up with. On the silly, simple, you walk down the street, you come to the church, you see there's a bunch of trash under the bush, pull it out, because that's not what heaven's going to look like. Or you're traveling on Thanksgiving and you go through the airport and you see someone crying because they missed their flight and they're not going to get back to have Thanksgiving dinner with their dying dad who they won't see after this. Go sit with them. Just be with them. Because the kingdom of heaven doesn't look like one person grieving all alone. Go join them. The kingdom of heaven, there will be no hunger, there will be no people who don't have medical care, there will be no one who's alone and who needs anything. So when you see those things, jump in. Participate. Show acts of kindness and mercy and grace and forgiveness and courage. Participate in the kingdom. This is the tension, I believe, of Advent. This double story. This lovely, beautiful thing that is absolutely true, that we await the coming of the Messiah. But this other story underneath that talks about why we need a Messiah in the first place. And in there is the kingdom of God. So look. Look. Lift up your heads. The kingdom of God is at hand. And when you find it, jump in. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us affirm our faith in this triune God through the words of the Nicene Creed on page 326 of the Red Book of Common Prayer. We believe in one God, the Father,
the Almighty, maker of heaven and
The Prayers of the People, Rite 1, may be found on page 328 of the Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church and the world. Almighty and ever-living God, who in thy holy word has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, receive these our prayers which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth.